on the Showbiz Sofa. Delighted to be joined by two names you'll recognise from the beautiful South once upon a time. They're back together and working together for a second time. It's Paul Heaton and Jackie Abbott. Hello, how are you?
Brilliant.
They're fantastic, yeah. Thank you.
Great to have you guys back on the show. We sat here, I think it was about 18 months ago, around the time you released your album, What Have We Become, which I think was your first collaborative effort together since the days of the Beautiful South. If we can kind of start there and just sort of backtrack a little bit, what was the catalyst for you two kind of reprising that relationship from the days of the Beautiful South?
Paul contacted me late one night via social media, of all things, and asked me to get involved in a project that he was doing with a lot of other artists. He already was writing material for another album, and with a female voice in mind as well. And he said, what do you think about being involved in an actual album, a full album? So it's just gone on from there.
And Paul, you had the songs written, did you? You needed a second voice on it.
I started writing for a new album, but when I asked Jackie, I'd already written quite a bit of it. So Jackie said yes. I wrote about an extra six songs on top of the ones that we'd already done. Specifically, you know, songs like DIY and a couple of which were more specifically with Jackie in mind. I found that process very easy. So when it came to the process of doing this one, this next one, I also found that easy and work spilled out onto the page, so to speak.
Yeah, because clearly you two obviously had such a good time working together last time around that you've done it again for Wisdom, Laughter and Lines. I mean, Jackie, did you need any more persuading to work a second time around?
No, none at all. I happened to be on the phone at the time and my mum would always be in the background going, yep, do it again, yep, do it again. Because I said I was kind of on social media, but having a conversation with my mum, and I said, oh, mum, I said, I think Paul's just, I'm messaging Paul here back and forth, I think he's just asked me to sing with him again. She went, just do it. And she screamed down the phone. And I think the same would be for any other things coming up. You know, I said, like you said, with the tours coming up as well, I was like, oh, there's a tour coming up, mum, what do you think? Do it, just to get on with it, crack on with it. So she's very, very, all my family really, very encouraging. So all of it, I think for all of us, has been such a lovely experience that anything coming from it, you know, like the likes of the tours at the end of this month and then next year as well, it's all good to look forward to, and it's all been so lovely, the response.
Your mum must be quite the fan, because I was looking through your tweets. Did you really get your mum to sign 4,000 albums?
No, she popped round and they were on the floor. And I said, mum, just hold the Sharpie pen a minute. I said, I'm just going to tell everybody that you're signing it, not me. And she was like, I'm not signing them. And she was no, I don't think she would have. She got a brew and she put her feet up, and then she was like, yeah, I'll just let you get on with that.
Did she help you by putting them back in the pile? Girlfriend did.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot to sign there.
There's a lot. There was a lot. But she'd happily do it. If she could forge my signature, I think she would have done it. But no, she just looked and went, oh my God, I don't know how you're going to do them all. But yeah.
I wanted to mention the music video for the single, because it's nice to see somebody putting Croydon in South London, where I was born, in a good light, and rather it just being on the telly because it's made the news for another stabbing or something. How was Croydon for you guys?
Croydon was a lovely place. We really enjoyed it. I myself spent a bit of time in Croydon when I was younger, and it was good to go back there for myself. I saw my first two gigs in Croydon, actually. I think the positivity of the record spills over into the video, which is something which is great credit to the video director, because quite often we'll make a decent song or whatever, and the video doesn't quite reflect that, but I think this did.
Yeah, I've got fond memories of going to gigs in Croydon. That was at the Cartoon Club, I think, down, I forget where that was now.
Yeah, the Cartoon Club. I went to the Greyhound, you see, because I must be quite a bit older than you. The Greyhound was the punk venue in the 70s, and I went to the Fairfield Halls. That was where I saw my first gig, the Stylistics.
Ah, yes, yeah. The Fairfield Halls and the Ashcroft Theatre, all in the same building.
Right,
I think I performed at the Fairfield Halls because our school did concerts there and
you
stuff.
Sound as though you've done a bit of... You sound as though you trod the boards at some stage in your life.
Oh, yeah, that was just musical. Bits and pieces, nothing particularly glamorous. It says here that the new album, it has, quote, a strong social conscience that touches on the changing social landscape of Britain. That's what the press release says anyway. I mean, Paul, you've been writing songs about, you know, this sort of thing for a long time. I guess you're not going to be running out of ideas anytime soon.
No, that's the unfortunate thing for people who hate me and the good thing for people who like me. Yeah, I've got plenty to say, and I think most people have got plenty to say, really, but I think a lot of people are too shy to say it. And I'm just one of those fortunate people who is not too shy to say things.
I read that you said that if Jeremy Corbyn gets elected in 5 years' time, you want him to nationalise the music industry. Did you say that? What did you mean by it?
Yes, I did say it. And it's something that I will be happy to do. I've been contemplating writing a letter to this current government just for the hilarity of the response to see if they'd nationalise me. They would take my songs away from me and take the 80% that I take off it. So every time you heard a record, say like Happy Hour or Perfect 10, if it was a nationalised record, you would be getting money. We would all be getting money. You could then export them, because don't forget, British music is a massive export for us, and make them big in Belgium and massive in Macedonia. And we would see, the British public would see the profits instead of me.
Would you nationalise One Direction or just export them full stop?
I'd nationalise them individually and then sell them back off again.
Jackie, where do you stand on this? Or do you leave the political stuff to Paul?
He's the political guy. There's plenty to write about, isn't there, really, in terms of... I know there's other things, there's a lot of other things that he puts into his lyrics as well.
Yeah. Looking ahead, you guys in our neck of the woods on the 2nd of November playing the UEA in Norwich. Looking forward to getting back on the road this autumn?
We're playing the 3rd of November.
Beg your pardon.
But if you want to turn up early, just in case we've run out of tickets, which we haven't, I'll get on to that now. Yeah, we're playing the 3rd of November at the UEA. And, it's been a while since we've been in Norwich, so get yourself down. We've had calls from Facebook to come over and see you. So I think as we've had the call and we've entertained you and come all this way, turn up. Don't forget to bring your packed lunch if you're coming on the 2nd as well.
I'm going to take lots of pictures, bring my camera, lots of pictures. I've never been to Norwich before, so it'd be
it's
lovely.
Brilliant. Norwich lovely is brilliant. Yeah, it's like the start of another world.
Oh. Yes. Lovely to speak to you as always. Wish you all the best. We'll see you in Norwich, maybe on the 2nd, maybe on the 3rd, whenever you fancy turning up.
Yeah, okay. All right. Cheers,
thank
Joff.
You.